You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2007, the fourth International AIDS Society conference on HIV pathogenesis, treatment, and prevention. Sydney, Australia, July 22nd through July 25th, 2007.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of the Body Pro. And I'm in Sydney, Australia at IAS 2007, one of the year's major HIV conferences. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who actually conducted the research. It is these men and women who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. I will ask a few questions after their summary.
My name is Shauna Williams. I'm from UMDNJ, New Jersey Medical School in Newark, New Jersey, United States. The study that I worked on is entitled Pregnancy and Neonatal Outcomes of Perinatally Infected HIV Adolescents and Young Adults. We looked at a cohort of patients who were perinatally infected and who then went on to have a pregnancy, or in two cases, two pregnancies. We looked at what regimens they received, what medical complications they had a history of or that they had during the pregnancy, and any obstetric outcomes as well. So overall, the group did well during the pregnancy, with only a few patients having to be hospitalized during the course of their pregnancy. Most of the complications were related to either a history of asthma, anemia, or thrombocytopenia. And their obstetric complications included preterm delivery or preeclampsia as the most common obstetric complications. But overall, the patients delivered at term, and overall the neonatal status was negative. We had one positive status, and that was in a patient who refused antiretroviral therapy during the course of her pregnancy and also refused cesarean delivery at the time of her pregnancy, at the time of delivery. Overall, though, the group had high rates of sexually transmitted infections, particularly chlamydia, as well as abnormal pap smears, including low-grade and high-grade SIL.
So this population was not only infected at birth, but they seemed to have behaviors that were high-risk as well.
That's likely, yes, I would agree with that. It's a small group, so it's hard to say. You know, we didn't compare to the perinatally infected adolescents who did not become pregnant, but yes, they would have high-risk sexual behaviors, as, you know, evidenced by the sexually transmitted infections and abnormal cytology.
So they were given medication also following the pregnancy, or?
Yes, all these patients were on regimens prior to pregnancy, or at least were prescribed regimens prior to pregnancy. Their adherence rates were variable prior to pregnancy and would have all been kept on regimens after the pregnancy as well. A few of the patients needed regimen changes during the pregnancy, either because of resistance testing that was done during the pregnancy or because of issues with adherence.
What was the average age?
The ages ranged from 16 at the time of the first pregnancy to 21, with I think the median was 18 and a half.
And this is a largely inner-city population?
Yes, it's an inner-city population. And the majority of the patients being African-American or Hispanic.
So your recommendations?
So with this group, one thing is prior to the pregnancy, we should remember to counsel them regarding safe sex practices because of their risk of infections as well as, you know, abnormal pap smears, but also because they're engaging in sexual activity, contraception needs to be discussed as well. The other issue is that because they're at an increased risk for not having appropriate viral suppression in order to avoid cesarean delivery, you can see here that, you know, quite a few had cesarean delivery for HIV reasons. There were six for HIV indications. So they're young. There's a possibility that they'll have subsequent pregnancies, and so they're at risk for the complications of repeat cesarean delivery as well.
What sort of adherence support do they have, if any?
Well, you know, in our clinic, we have a day that's focus is on patients with HIV, and we have HIV counseling as well as support staff. Their home support is variable. Some of these patients had foster parents who were supportive of them, and others really just had, you know, really were taking care of themselves. So it ranged. So certainly adherence, though, I mean, one thing to say about adherence is that at every visit that they came to, adherence was stressed, and they were asked about it.
So what are next steps? Are you continuing following this kind of population? Or
we'll continue to follow this group. Certainly trying to come up with interventions to promote adherence in this group, to also educate them about the contraceptive options is important. You know, certainly education about those things is essential, as we put here, and, you know, hopefully trying to really make sure that during the course of their pregnancy, the regimens are appropriate and that resistance testing is done so that they can try and achieve less than 1,000 at the time of delivery. It's also important.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on IAS 2007 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2007.